say you've been traveling abroad and you're coming back to the United States. You're going through customs and a Border Patrol agent tells you to hand over your phone passcode or unlock the device and give it to them. What do you do? Well, there have been reports of Border Patrol agents asking people to do exactly that. So what are your rights to privacy at the border when it comes to your mobile devices? Orrin Kerr is a law professor at George Washington University, and he specializes in computer crime law and digital evidence investigation. Welcome to Here and Now.
Glad to be here.
So first of all, let me just get right to it. Is it legal for Customs and Border Patrol agents to ask a U.S. citizen to unlock their phone when they're coming back into the United States?
It's legal for them to ask. The real question is what happens if somebody says no.
Right. So let me rephrase that. Good point. Do you have to comply?
You probably don't have to comply. There are no court cases that have actually tested this, and we really don't know what the legal limits are on the government getting people to unlock their phones.
Okay, interesting. So what does case law then say on Or how close does case law come then to helping us find an answer to this question? Because there have been some cases about the government is definitely, if it has a warrant, the CBP can take your phone and unlock it, right?
And they don't even need a warrant. It's clear the government does not need a warrant to search the phone based on a constitutional law, a set of cases called the border search exception. So ordinary rule, if the government wants to search your phone, they would need a search warrant. They'd need to go to a judge and say, hey, judge, there's probable cause to believe there's evidence on this phone. They don't need that at the border because of a longstanding exception to the constitutional doctrine under the Fourth Amendment that says at the border, the government has special powers to search and seize. Basically, the government needs to know what's coming into the country to look for things that are being smuggled in or even what's leaving the country. So some courts have said the government can search a computer without any suspicion. Other courts have said the government needs what's called reasonable suspicion. It's basically the same cause that the government would need to stop somebody and question them on the street. And if they have that reasonable suspicion, it's clear the government can conduct a search, even a very invasive forensic search of the phone. That doesn't necessarily mean they can get someone's help to do it, though. It just means they can search it if they can figure out a way to search the phone.
Right. And that bar of reasonableness, it's pretty low.
Yeah, reasonable suspicion is not a very high standard, and you as the traveler won't know if the government has that suspicion. So they may have reasonable suspicion when you don't know it, and that means that you're kind of not fully aware of what the government thinks at the time they're searching a phone.
Yeah. Now, I know the government has frequently argued in these digital privacy cases that courts have already given them the right to open people's physical luggage. And so, you know, why not translate that right to the information suitcase, essentially, that is your cell phone?
Yeah, so the big counterargument is based on a Supreme Court case from 2014 called Riley versus California, in which the Supreme Court said that searching a cell phone is just different from searching a physical item. And in that case, the Supreme Court required a warrant to search a cell phone when somebody's arrested, even though the traditional law is that when somebody's arrested, the government is free to search their pockets, search through their wallet, search through books that they may have on them. And the Supreme Court said it's just computer searches are different. And the real question here is how different are computer searches in the border search context? Some courts say, well, that requires extra suspicion to search a phone. Other courts say, no, it's actually the same thing. There's just a lot of disagreement in the lower courts, and the Supreme Court has not yet taken this issue.
Okay, so let's get back to the specifics of Border Patrol agents asking for people's passcodes to unlock their phones. I mean, has this been going on for some time, and we're just noticing it now because there's this renewed focus and interest on what's happening at America's borders?
It's actually historically been very uncommon for the Border Patrol to search phones or search computers. Many, many people cross the U.S. border all the time, every day, millions of people. And these sorts of searches are very rare. So that's an important context. Whether that's changing today with the Trump administration, we don't really know. It's really tough to go from these anecdotal reports to, you know, the real data and knowing what's actually changing.
Yeah. And I wonder what you make of the specifics of the stories we're hearing from people who have been asked by Customs and Border Patrol to unlock their phones. I mean, there was one that just happened recently at the end of last month where a U.S. citizen, a NASA scientist, returned from South America through Houston, I believe, And U.S. Customs and Border Patrol told him, quote, he was not allowed to leave until he unlocked his phone for them, and that they, in fact, did detain him. And a Border Patrol officer insisted that he had the authority to search the phone and even gave this NASA scientist a document that apparently listed a series of consequences for failing to offer the information asked by Customs and Border Patrol. I mean, I guess they can ask you anything, but it does seem as if the Border Patrol is making it seem like they have the legal right to tell you to unlock your phone.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different issues here, and let me take the lawyer's approach and break them down. So the first issue is, can they search the phone? And the answer is probably, if they can figure it out on their own, they can search the phone. The second question is, can they detain you until you hand over your passcode? They probably have some power to detain you for a little bit, maybe for an hour or two. Not forever. They can't hold you at the border and say, all right, you're living here until you hand over your passcode. And the question that's uncertain is whether you have the law requires you to answer the question. There is a law that might apply and might require you to answer the question, but it's not at all clear it applies to these situations. And even then, you'd be able to say, hey, I assert the Fifth Amendment privilege. I feel like I have a constitutional right not to answer, and that would then have to go before a judge to figure out whether that's right. So the government is asserting this power, we think, but it's not clear how widely it's being asserted, and the rules here are just really unclear.
So are you recommending that's what people do, that they should assert their Fifth Amendment right if they're asked to unlock their phones?
You know, it's hard to give people legal advice over the radio, but this isn't happening all that often, and we don't know, importantly, exactly what the government's position is. We're getting reports from individuals about conversations they had, and we're getting one or two reports here and there. What I think we really need to know is, what is the actual policy the government is following? Once we know what that policy really is, then we can start talking about what are responses different people can take.
Now, we've been focusing on the rights of U.S. citizens, which, as you've been telling us, because there's so much uncertainty, we don't fully know the answer there at the border. But I imagine there's even more uncertainty if you're not a U.S. citizen, even if you're a legal permanent resident.
If you're a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident, the rules are the same in terms of your constitutional rights. It's an extra uncertainty if you're, say, visiting from abroad. Ordinarily, we'd say the Constitution only gives constitutional rights to people that are U.S. citizens or permanent resident aliens, except once they've landed in the United States, they may then have Fourth Amendment rights because they then have voluntary contacts with the United States. So it may be that the government has more power in that context, but it may be that the rules are the same. We really don't entirely know.
Now, I know you were slightly reluctant to give legal advice on the radio, but I can guarantee you I'm curious, and I'm sure many, many people listening to this are also, because there seem to be a lot of articles that say, you know, you should encrypt your phones, you should turn them off, turn off Touch ID, all sorts of things. I mean, are we living in an age where people who do want to protect their data privacy, like, should they be recommended to take extraordinary steps?
It's, I think, hard to say, you know, should people take the following steps, because you'd have to ask yourself, against what threat? So the fear is that we've got a rogue government that's violating all the constitutional rules and is searching people unfairly, is targeting political dissenters. Those are the anxieties. So people might say, well, that's how I see myself, and so I will take these steps. The premise of the question is not yet clear. So right. I think it's too early to say, you know, we have to stop this. And go back to the example of the NASA scientist. It may be that actually there have been anonymous reports about this NASA scientist and what he's actually carrying on his phone. And it may be those reports are completely wrong. Maybe they're right. We don't know. But this may actually be good government law enforcement steps rather than kind of a crazy situation. We just don't know because we only get the one side of the story. So it's really hard to say from one case that this is the new world we're in and this is how you should respond.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very important point, and I'm glad you made it. But from what I hear you saying, there isn't any legal certainty or not adequate legal certainty about whether or not you're required to hand over your passcode to unlock your phone. So is a court case the only way to get that certainty?
Yeah, the way things would work out in the legal system is somebody would refuse to hand over their passcode. They might sue the government, or the government might bring an enforcement action against them, and then a court can figure out, okay, let me work through how the law applies here. And so what happens is the law gets clarified when the court starts saying, here's something that happened, here's how the law applies. We just don't have those cases yet because these policies are new and, you know, encryption on iPhones is pretty new. And so we're just starting to get these problems. And it takes the legal system a couple years for all the lawyers to get together and a lawsuit to be filed and a judge to make one decision. And then the losing party is going to appeal. And it works its way up to the Supreme Court. And then 5 or 10 years later, the Supreme Court says, okay, here's the rule, here's the law. And so we just have a natural period of uncertainty until that happens.
Professor Kerr, if you were flying back into Reagan National from an overseas trip and you were asked to unlock your phone at the border, would you?
You know, I teach constitutional criminal procedure, so I think I'm obligated to assert my Fifth Amendment rights and see what happens.
Well, Oren Kerr is a law professor at George Washington University, and he specializes in computer crime law, amongst other things. Professor Kerr, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.